Title: Pad Movement That Supports Melody, Advanced Drum and Bass in Ableton Live. Alright, let's build a pad that actually behaves like drum and bass. Not a trance blanket, not a cinematic wallpaper. In DNB, pads are rarely the main character, but they are absolutely the glue. They connect the drums to the harmony, they fill the emotional gaps, and they make the hook feel bigger without stepping on the lead or the bass. The mission today is simple to say, but advanced to execute. We're going to create pad movement that supports melody. That means two things. One, the pad has to move rhythmically in a way that locks into the groove at 174-ish BPM. Two, the movement has to reinforce the hook's phrasing, without copying the hook and without masking it. We're going to do it with a two-layer system using stock Ableton devices. Layer 1 is the pad body, mid-focused, wide, animated, and side-chained. Layer 2 is the pad air and motion layer, high-pass texture, shimmer, rhythmic movement, and time-based effects that duck behind the drums. And then, the secret weapon. We're going to arrange the pad like a living part across 16 to 32 bars so your track keeps lifting even if the chords technically repeat. Step 0. Set the session up so the pad behaves like DNB. Set your tempo around 172 to 176 BPM. Now make a simple drum loop first. Kick on the 1, snare on 2 and 4. If you want, add hats and shuffles, because once the drums are busy, your movement decisions matter more. Here's a pro workflow rule that saves people years. Build pads with drums and bass playing. Pads that sound incredible solo often destroy the mix in context. So keep the groove running while you design. Step 1. Write the chord bed that supports the melody. Even advanced producers sometimes skip this and then wonder why their pad doesn't help. Define the job of the pad harmonically. Make an 8-bar MIDI clip. Keep it tight. 2-4 chord tones max. Avoid big stacked voicings unless your track is super sparse, because DNB is usually already dense with drums, bass, and lead layers. If you want a reference example, a dark rolling vibe in F minor could go, FM for bars 1 to 2, DB for bars 3 to 4, EB for bars 5 to 6, and then AC7 sus resolving to C7 for bars 7 to 8. Now the crucial DNB-friendly voicing tip. Keep the lowest pad note above roughly 150 to 250 Hz. You're not allowed to own the subs here. The Reese and the sub get that Riedel estate. Your pad is mid-support, not foundation. Also, think about what the pad tracks. You have two choices. It can track the melody notes, meaning it follows the same chord tones the lead is emphasizing. Or it can track the melody rhythm, meaning it mirrors phrasing, where the lead breathes, holds, resolves, and leaves space. Most of the time, the stronger move is tracking phrasing, not copying notes. A great test is, if you mute the lead, does the pad still suggest where the phrase turns, without sounding like a second lead line? Step 2. Build the pad body in Waveitable. Create a MIDI track called PAD Body. Your device chain is Waveitable into Auto Filter, then Chorus Ensemble, then EQ8, then optionally Glue Compressor, then Utility. In Waveitable, start with a sawish waveform. Something harmonically rich. Oscillator 2 can be a slightly different table, or the same table with a bit of detune. Set unison to around 6 to 10 voices depending on how thick you want it. Keep the unison amount around 20 to 40%, and detune around 10 to 20. We want width and animation, but we still want pitch focus. In the Waveitable filter, use a low-pass 24 dB slope. Set cutoff somewhere like 600 to 2K as a starting point. We're going to modulate it, so don't overthink the exact number yet. For the amp envelope, keep it pad-like, but rhythm-capable. Attack around 15 to 40 milliseconds so it speaks fast enough. Decay around 1.5 to 3 seconds. Sustain down around minus 6 to minus 12 dB so it relaxes a bit. And release around 1 to 3 seconds so it breathes. Now add controlled movement, not random wobble. Use LFO 1 to modulate filter cutoff. Sync the LFO to half a bar or 1 bar, and keep the amount subtle, like 5 to 15%. Use a sine or triangle shape for smooth motion. This is breathing. It adds life without demanding attention. Step 3. Make it move like DNB. DNB pads often pump with the drums and tick with the groove. There are two main ways to do this, and you can use both carefully. Option A is classic sidechain compression. Add a compressor after EQ8. Enable sidechain. Choose your drum bus as the input. Ratio around 4 to 1. Attack around 2 to 10 milliseconds, release around 80 to 160 milliseconds. Tune the release until the pad bounces with a groove instead of lurching awkwardly. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on kicks and snares. Quick advanced note, in DNB, the snare is often the statement. Sometimes you'll get a punchier, More intentional groove if the pad ducks more to the snare than the kick, so don't be afraid to sidechain from a snare-focused bus if your routing allows it. Option B is a ghost gate rhythm using autopan as tremolo. Put autopan early in the chain, right after the filter is a great spot. Set phase to 0 degrees so it's volume modulation, not left-right panning. Set the rate to 1/8 or 1/16, amount around 20 to 45%, shape around 70 to 90% so it gets a little more gated, but not full-on chopped. This is how you get that walking, rolling energy without turning the pad into a trance-stab pattern. And yes, automate that auto-pan amount. Verses should be gentler, drops can be tighter. Step 4. Keep it out of the bass and lead. On EQ8, high pass the pad. Use a 24 dB per octave slope around 150 to 250 Hz. Adjust by key and bass design, but the principle is non-negotiable. Low end belongs to bass. Then carve a little space for your lead. If your lead lives around 1 to 3 kHz, dip that range 1 to 3 dB with a medium Q. If the pad feels boxy, a tiny notch around 300 to 500 Hz can clean it up. A really practical move here. Temporarily drop spectrum after EQ 8 and watch where the pad stacks energy when the bass and lead are playing. Don't EQ the pad while soloed. EQ it while it's beating challenged. Now step 5, add the separate air and motion layer. Duplicate the MIDI to a new track called PADIR. This layer is not about chord weight, it's about texture, sparkle and phrasing. For devices, go analog or wavitable again. Then auto filter, then subtle redux or saturator, then hybrid reverb, then echo, then EQ8, then utility. In analog, turn on noise and keep the oscillator levels lower. The idea is, noise plus a simple tone, not a bright supersaw competing with the lead. On auto filter, high pass aggressively somewhere like 800 Hz to 2 kHz. Keep resonance low to moderate. This layer lives above the mix, not inside the bass zone. Now here's where supports melody becomes real. We're going to make the motion respond to the melodic phrase, not just wiggle constantly. Map the auto filter cutoff to a macro called lift. Then automate lift so the pad opens slightly at the end of the melody line, like call and response. For example, bars 1 to 2 more closed, bar 3 opens, bar 4 closes again. That's phrasing support. The lead speaks, and the pad answers by opening up and then relaxing. On hybrid reverb, choose a plate or hall, decay somewhere like 2 to 6 seconds depending on how dense the track is. Keep it subtle. This air layer should be felt more than heard. On echo, try sync at dotted 1/8 or quarter note. Feedback 15 to 35%. Use the built-in high pass and low pass inside echo so the delays stay airy and don't clutter the mids. Now a critical D-D-N-B rule. Duck your ambience. Either put a compressor on the PADAIR track and sidechain it from the drums, or sidechain the reverb return so the tail gets out of the way of the snare. Long tails with fast drums will wash your transients if you don't duck them. Extra sound design tip, if you want a spectral blur vibe using only stock, put saturator after the reverb with very low drive. That slightly dirties the tail and turns clean reverb into a cohesive haze that reads as movement, not as too much reverb. Step 6. Route both pads to a pad bus. Create an audio track called PAD bus. Set both PAD body and PAD AIR outputs to it. On the pad bus, add EQ8, glue compressor, saturator, and utility. Glue compressor, ratio 2 to 1. Attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto. You're not slamming this. 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction is enough to make the layers feel like one instrument. Saturator, soft clip on, drive 1 to 3 dB. Again, subtle. You're adding density and stability. Utility, width around 80 to 120%. Don't go crazy, because wide low mids equal mush and weak drums. If you want extra polish, automate width. Narrower in verses, wider in drops, and widest in the gaps between lead phrases. And here's an advanced coach note. Keep stereo interesting above and dependable below. If your pad sounds huge but destabilizes the mix, the fix is usually band-based width control. You can build a 3-band pad rack on the bus. Low mid more mono, mids controlled, highs wide and animated. That way the pad stays strong in mono and doesn't smear the punch. Step 7. Arrangement. Evolve the pad across 32 bars. Pads should develop. They shouldn't just turn on and stay on. Here's a practical 32-bar pacing plan. Bars 1 to 8. Intro or atmos. Only pad air. Filtered, quieter, minimal movement. Bars 9 to 16. Bring in PAD body but keep it darker, lower cutoff, slight tremolo. Bars 17 to 24. Drop A. Open cutoff a bit. Increase sidechain depth, a bit more rhythmic modulation. Bars 25 to 32, drop variation or drop B. Change inversion, or add a sus or seventh color tone. And maybe automate echo feedback up briefly at phrase ends. Try this phrase-based automation idea. At the last half bar of every four bars, do a micro lift. Open cutoff a touch. Increase reverb send a bit. Then snap back on the downbeat. That snap back is very DNB. It creates forward motion without clutter. Now let's talk about support tones, because this is one of the most advanced mix bass tricks. If your lead leans heavily on thirds, like it really sells the minor or major color, keep the pad slightly more ambiguous. Use fifths, sus2, sus4, or ninths. Then only confirm the chord by bringing in the third at phrase endings. This reduces note collisions and makes the hook feel like it owns the emotion. Advanced variation ideas, quick but powerful. 1. The chord following answer note. Duplicate your pad MIDI clip. Delete everything except a single top note per chord, like a seventh or ninth. Put it on a quiet layer, and automate it so it only appears in the last half bar of every four bars. The pad will feel like it's responding to the hook with almost no extra density. 2. Polyrhythmic motion that still feels like DNB. Keep your main tremolo on a straight grid, like 1/8. Then add a second subtle movement source that cycles differently, like a carefully tuned unsynced LFO that approximates 3/16 or 5/16. Keep the depth tiny, like 5 to 10%. The groove stays locked, but the texture evolves over 8 to 16 bars. 3. Velocity to movement. Instead of automating cutoff everywhere, map velocity to filter cutoff. Then draw velocity shapes that match melodic emphasis, stronger at phrase endings, lighter under busy lead moments. It's fast, musical, and it feels performed. 4. Mid-side ducking. Glitch your pad bus into mid and side chains using an audio effect rack. Apply stronger sidechain compression to the mid-chain only, leaving the size more constant. You'll get punch and clarity without the pad sounding like it disappears. Common mistakes to avoid. This audio version is shortened for playback.